God is with you.
Also with you.
Let us pray. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So one of my favorite things about Mark, the book we read from today, is that it's like the Mario Andretti NASCAR version of the gospel story. Mark tells us three stories in less time than it would take any of the other gospel writers to tell just one of them, which maybe has its downsides. There aren't as many details, but I think it's also a good thing for a few reasons. It's shorter, so less reading. That's not a bad thing. More importantly than that, you can take it to the bank that if Mark bothered to mention something or introduce a detail, then it's important. Because he doesn't waste his energy or his time or his ink on stuff that wasn't central to the story he was trying to tell. This is an important story for us, especially as we go into Lent. So you all have permission to make this an interactive thing. If you have questions or comments, throw them at me. That's totally okay. Don't worry about interrupting me or whatever. I want you all to be a part of this if you would like. Adults too, whatever. So first, I have a question for you. Did anything stand out in the story that you heard today? Was there any detail that you thought, oh, that was strange, or that seems important, or anything like that? I think for me, one of the things that stands out is that we have Jesus getting baptized, right? That may seem kind of weird, because if you think that baptism is for making you a good person or for getting rid of your sins or whatever, why is Jesus getting baptized? If baptism is only for bad people or people who have problems or people who need to be forgiven or whatever, it doesn't make a lot of sense for Jesus to be doing something like that. He doesn't have any sins to wash away. He doesn't need anything from baptism. So why do it? Why bother getting what's probably your only set of clothes wet? Why schlep all the way from Nazareth to the Jordan on foot? Why mess up your hair? You know, whatever. Why do it? And maybe, and hear me out here, maybe it's because that's not really what baptism is for. And I'm not saying that it just wasn't about that for Jesus. I mean, it wasn't about that for anybody who was baptized by John out in the Jordan. They were Jewish, and Jewish folks had their own way of symbolizing that God had forgiven them. They didn't need another one. Instead, I think that this was the way that they symbolized to each other and commemorated that they were joining a new movement. Kind of like how you all have a special ceremony to commemorate when you move up a rank. It was just like that. And this new movement they were joining was about how religion, as it was operating, wasn't really working anymore. It had stopped doing good things and now was mostly doing things that were either harmful to the most vulnerable people among them at worst, or at best it wasn't really accomplishing anything. It was just a thing you did on, well, Saturday, if you were Jewish. And therefore, something new had to take over, had to take its place. Jesus is baptized to symbolize his commitment to the ideas that John had been preaching and that he would later preach himself. And that idea is that the kingdom of God is at hand, that the time is now to start doing things the way God wants us to and not just the way our selfishness would have us do it. And in that kingdom that John and Jesus talks about, things like greed or dishonesty or lack of care and concern for poor people and sick people and other people that tend to be ignored and forgotten, those kinds of things aren't going to fly anymore. Those things need to be replaced with love and mercy and justice and unselfishness. Jesus' baptism tells us that he is different. And he's going to be doing things differently. Okay, so we have Jesus getting baptized. And as he's coming out of the water, it says the sky rips open, which I don't know what that means, but it sounds pretty cool. And the God saying, "You are my beloved Son. With you I'm well pleased." Which is a pretty good endorsement of Jesus. As far as compliments go, it's a pretty good one. We all love hearing when someone is proud of us. So Jesus, I would imagine, is riding high after hearing that. I mean, he may have been God, but he was also just a dude, and that had to have felt really good to hear. But Mark tells us that right after that high, right after that awesome moment of affirmation, he is drawn into the wilderness for 40 days, and the devil messes with him, which is quite an emotional roller coaster to be on. Life just really spiked the layup right out of Jesus' hands, which, you know, life is prone to do sometimes. And it's this period of temptation, this 40 days, that we commemorate with Lent. Just like Jesus had to go without, just like Jesus struggled, we do the same. In the hopes that just as that trial prepared Jesus to start his ministry, we too would be prepared to go forward and start our own. Are any of you by chance giving something up for Lent or changing something in your lives for Lent? Not everybody does it. That's totally fine. I'm actually taking something on this year for Lent rather than giving something up. My thing for Lent is to make sure I walk 10,000 steps every day, to take better care of my body, which is a gift from God. My husband, I hope, is going to be giving up hanging his wet towel directly on my towel so my towel never dries. I'm pretty sure that's what he's giving up for Lent. We talked about it. So, you know, there's a vast array of possibilities available to you. So that's where Lent comes from, is this little story, these tiny couple sentences in Mark. And then finally, when his 40 days are over, at exactly the same time that John, the guy who baptizes him and kind of started the whole movement, is imprisoned. And I don't want to spoil anything for you, but jail isn't kind to John. He doesn't make it. So Jesus is left to carry that torch forward, farther than John ever could have carried it. John, after all, knew from the beginning that this whole job was to get the world ready for Jesus, the guy who's really the center of God's plans. And our story for today ends with Jesus starting his ministry, bringing the same message that John had been giving, that the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. In other words, the time is now for God to set the world right. We've been going in the wrong direction, but all we have to do is turn around and believe. That's all repent and believe the good news is. Repent just means to go in a different direction than you've been going in. We don't need anything elaborate. We don't need to beat ourselves up. We don't even actually need to be baptized. We just need to stop doing the stuff we know we should stop doing and do the things we know we should be doing. And through all of that journey, through all of that process, have faith that what we're doing matters. And that we aren't doing it alone. Greg, will you help us respond with